Now, from Hollywood, romance.
Far to the south of Puerto Rico, north and east of Trinidad, a tiny island rises boldly out of the blue waters of the Caribbean. French and tropical, modern and primitive, beautiful and mysterious. This is the island of Dominique.
With Robert Bailey as Mark and Joan Banks as Melanie, we present transcribed Leonard St. Clair's new story of adventure and romance, Isle to the Windward.
The long blast of the ship's whistle vibrated through the steaming tropical haze, echoed across the bay, and called forth a salute from the fort at the harbor entrance. The Caribbean island of Dominique in Port Luanda seemed almost unreal, dreamlike. The tall palms that ringed the harbor promenade, the yellow buildings with the red-tiled roofs that stretched upward from the water's edge and melted into the green jungle at the base of Monte Cristine, the tower of the cathedral that gleamed white in the shimmering heat, and the giant stone figure of the Virgin which stood guard on the neighboring hill. All of it added up to an impossibly beautiful dream. Impossibly beautiful was also the way I felt about the girl who stood beside me at the ship's rail.
Does Dominique intrigue you, Monsieur Corbin?
Oh, it's magnificent. I can hardly wait to paint it.
Ah? I did not know you were an artist.
I haven't had a chance to tell you. I've covered most of the Caribbean, but Dominique's what I've been looking for. An artist's paradise.
Paradise? No, Dominique is... Dominique.
Mademoiselle, quickly. We must be ready to go ashore.
But we are ready.
No, we are not. Come, mademoiselle.
Excuse me, monsieur.
There it was again. Ever since Trinidad, that woman had shadowed the girl like a combination chaperone and bodyguard. There was something odd about it. Something not quite right. There were a half dozen ancient touring cars lined up at the wharf, but I decided to walk to the hotel. I wanted to take it all in. The throngs of dark native women in their striped turbans, others balancing high baskets of fruit on their heads. The mango trees, noisy with green and yellow parrots. And everywhere, the native rhythms of Dominique. As I made my way up the Grand Rue, I saw a touring car pull to the curb in front of a large pink building. Two women stepped out. As I drew nearer, I recognized Mademoiselle de Beauvier.
Oh, you are fortunate, Monsieur Corbin.
Oh?
You arrive on our great holiday. Tonight, Port Luanda celebrates the festival.
The festival?
Of St. Christopher. We thank him for his protection through the season of the hurricane.
Mademoiselle, your father is waiting.
Oh, oui, petite maman. Again, monsieur, au revoir.
With that, they disappeared into the pink building and a heavy oaken door closed behind them. That evening was a mixture of Mardi Gras in New Orleans, Carnival in Rio, New Year's in New York, plus the heat of a Pittsburgh blast furnace. Even the poorest was decked out in some sort of costume. Every door was open. People streamed in and out of houses. Then I saw her again. She was coming out of one of the houses. Jewels blazed about her neck. A crimson evening gown showed off the whiteness of her shoulders and the blackness of her hair. She was masked, but there was no disguising the woman who clung to her arm, Madame Duclos. I pushed my way toward them, and then they turned in at another doorway. It was the same pink building. I paused in the entrance. Why not? It was open house. People were welcome everywhere tonight. At the top of a flight of stairs, there was a large reception room. Men and women were crowding around a punch bowl.
Will you have champagne, Monsieur Cobra?
Huh? Oh, yes, thank you. I hope you don't mind my following you here.
No. I wanted you to.
Ah, then you saw me.
Yes. I wanted to show you our house.
Ours?
My father's and mine. If you wish, I'll show you the garden. We can see it from the balcony.
you're sure Madame Duclos will allow this.
Oh, you are safe. I am at home.
Then I have another question.
Yes?
What day is this?
Day? Thursday, the 30th of September.
And the year?
You are joking, monsieur.
No, believe me, I'm not.
Why, it is 1954, of course.
But it can't be. The calendar is wrong by at least 100 years.
Monsieur?
This island, Port Luanda, this house, and most of all, the exquisite lady of this house, you, mademoiselle, belong to another age, to a time far more romantic.
Incredible. An American who pays compliments in a European manner.
It wasn't too bad, was it?
Melanie.
Oh, Monsieur Cordon. May I present my father? Papa, Monsieur Cordon.
Our house is yours, Monsieur Cordon.
Thank you, sir.
You are from New York, I believe, an artist?
Why, yes, but...
Nothing surprising, Monsieur. Madame Duclos informed me.
Oh, I see.
Melanie, monsieur, when does Monsieur Cobain commence your portrait?
Portrait?
I have not asked him to.
Not yet, Melanie. You disappoint me.
But I shall consider it a privilege, mademoiselle. Whatever you wish.
Splendid. Then, perhaps tomorrow. We have a sugar plantation in the hills. We go there in the morning if you would honor us with your company.
Papa, please. Perhaps Monsieur Cobain has other plans. I'm sure his first wish would be to... see something of our island.
Well, that was my idea.
Well, forgive me, monsieur. Then perhaps in a few days.
I'd be delighted.
Good. And now, Melanie, we must not forget our other guests.
I followed them indoors. After a second glass of champagne, I decided to have another look at the festival going on in the street below. As I stepped out of the doorway, a hand grabbed my arm. Madame Duclos.
Monsieur, you must not go with them.
What are you talking about?
Do not see the mademoiselle again. It is best for you and for her.
Look, what is all this?
Take my word, monsieur. You must believe me. Bonsoir.
But wait, Madame Duclos. Madame! At first, I didn't take it seriously. It seemed like some kind of a far-fetched joke. Then I realized Madame Duclos was in deadly earnest. But whatever she meant to do, her words were a mistake. To warn a man is often to urge him on. The next morning, I packed my bags and hired a touring car. The plantation was halfway up the shoulder of Mornay Christine, a huge rambling house with a wide veranda, and on the front steps, Monsieur de Beauvier mopping his brow and smiling.
Ah, Monsieur Cobain, how good of you. How kind. Melanie, I told you he would come.
He was a perfect host. That night he gave a dinner for me and invited the neighboring plantation owners. The next day he escorted me over the estate to the cane fields, the sugar mill, the rum distillery. But I was never alone with Melanie. When she posed for the portrait, Madame Duclos sat to one side and knitted. Still, we did communicate. Our eyes told each other what we could not speak. Then, during one of the sittings...
You frown, monsieur. You are not pleased.
No. No, your throat needs some sort of ornament.
Perhaps a locket? I have a miniature of my mother.
That might do, yes. Yes, I'd like to see a picture of her. She must have been very beautiful.
I am told she was.
Yes, madame?
She was very beautiful, monsieur. A very grand lady.
Mm-hmm. She died when you were young, mademoiselle?
When I was a baby, she was killed in the great hurricane.
I see.
Since then, madame has been my petite maman.
Merci, mademoiselle.
And now, will you bring the miniature for monsieur?
But, mademoiselle...
Please, quickly.
Ah, oui, mademoiselle.
We were alone. We stared at each other for an instant. Then we were in each other's arms.
Oh, Mark. Mon cher, mon cher.
Oh, Melanie, we can't go on like this. There's so much we've got to talk about.
I know. At 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, go to the stable. You will find a horse waiting.
Only one?
There will be another. We will be together, darling.
After dinner, Melanie's father suggested that he and I take a walk in the garden. The air was humid. Fireflies glowed overhead. In the distance, we could see a bonfire and the moving shadows of the plantation workers.
You know the meaning of the drums, Monsieur Corbin?
No.
The natives pray to their voodoo gods. They fear a hurricane.
But I thought the season was over.
It is. Still, the witch doctors say otherwise. Tell me, Monsieur Corbin.
Yes?
You are in love with my daughter.
Well, I...
Of course. It is very plain. You want to marry her?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do.
It is an impossibility, monsieur.
If you mean you won't give your consent...
Even if I did, it is still impossible, I tell you.
Now, just a minute, sir.
Melanie will not marry you, monsieur. She will not, she cannot be the wife of any man.
Return to romance and our story, Isle to the Windward, in just a moment. The stars take over on Stars Over Hollywood today on CBS Radio. Every Saturday, one of the favorite performers steps into the lead of a play written especially to suit his or her histrionic talent. Comedy, melodrama, adventure on Stars Over Hollywood today on most of these stations. And now for the second act of Isle to the Windward as we return to romance.
De Beauvier's words had one immediate effect. I slept badly that night. The next morning, Melanie was waiting for me at the stable. The horses were saddled and ready. Melanie led the way. First past the cane fields, then upward through a forest of bamboo and giant tree ferns. Overhead, wild parrots screeched. An hour passed, then another. Finally, there was no more jungle. We were on the topmost crest of Monte Christine. There we dismounted. 4,000 feet below, Port Luanda was only a few patches of yellow and red and white. Black rain clouds drifted ominously overhead. I turned to Melanie. Somehow, she seemed different this morning. I started to put my arms around her.
No. Not now, Mark.
But why? What's happened? Only yesterday afternoon, you and I...
Yesterday was yesterday. We were both a little foolish.
Were we? Oh, Melanie, you've got to get away from this place, away from your father and Madame Duclos.
Why?
Well, that's it. I don't know why, but somehow they've made you a prisoner.
They let you come to me, Mark?
But only so far. Your father invited me up to the plantation so he could keep an eye on us. Madame Duclos tried to warn me off. What is it you're all so frightened of? Melanie, what is it?
Please, Mark, please.
But I've got to know.
Yesterday, you asked about my mother.
Yes?
I said she was killed in the great hurricane.
I remember.
The same hurricane that killed my two brothers.
Your brothers?
They were killed, all of them, in the same room. And it was a blessing.
Melanie?
A blessing.
But why?
For the same reason I can never marry you. They were hopelessly insane. Now you know. Oh, Mark, take me in your arms. But do not love me. Let me kiss you. But do not let me fall in love with you.
We rode back in silence. It was almost noon when we reached the end of the steaming jungle. Noon that looked like twilight. The whole sky was a yellow-gray. Overhead, birds were flying inland. When we reached the plantation, De Beauvier was pacing the veranda. But there were no questions, no accusations. He seemed almost in a daze.
Everyone said the season was past. Yes, even the government expert. The next day he was dead. He and all the others, my wife, my
Papa,
son.
Papa, you must not.
Melanie, you will help Madame Duclos. Take as much water as possible from the well. Fill every pot and kettle.
Yes, Papa, immediately.
And candles. Gather them all together.
Yes, Papa.
Monsieur de Beauvier.
Yes?
I'd like to borrow your car to go back to Port Luanda.
Now? With this storm?
I'll be there in plenty of time.
I hope so, monsieur. I hope so.
I had to get away. I needed time to think everything out. There was nothing the matter with Melanie. I was sure of it. There was no sign of anything strange about her. But what about the future? Perhaps not today, not tomorrow, but someday. Oh, it just couldn't be true. The streets of Port Luanda were empty. Trash and newspapers swirled about in the humid air. Outside the hotel, a mongrel dog was whimpering. For the first time, I began to feel uneasy. In the lobby, the desk clerk was gone and the porters. A lone and very fat Englishman sat in one of the wicker chairs and fanned himself.
Where is everybody? In church or taking to a high ground?
You mean it's really that serious?
Serious? I wager you've never been through a Caribbean hurricane.
No.
Well, I, sir, am what you might call a veteran. The Jamaica one, for instance. Some of the poor souls stayed on in town, and the high seas drowned them. Some took to the hills, and they were blown to death.
What if they're in the hills and stay indoors?
Then the walls and roof fall in on them. Best thing, sir, is to be a fatalist. Here. Pull up a chair. Find yourself a fan. Because it is going to get hotter still.
If there was a danger, I knew where I wanted to be. Whatever came, I was going to share it with Melanie. Plantation workers were crowding into the house for refuge. They were silent and gray with fear.
Oh, monsieur, thank heaven you have come. You must stop, mademoiselle. Tell her to come back.
Why? Where is she?
Her father, he has gone to the place. Every hurricane, he goes there to pray.
Madame Duclos, where is she?
Out there in the storm. She goes to bring him back, but he will not leave the place.
What place? Where?
Mademoiselle knows, I have told her.
She was too hysterical to make sense. All I could do was to try and to hope. Melanie! 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 I saw a hill at the edge of what had been the cane field, a hill covered with huge tree ferns. As I groped up the slope, I caught sight of her. Melanie!
My
darling, where is he?
At the top of this hill, Mark. Hurry, hurry.
We clawed our way up through the ferns. We came out into a clearing.
Papa! Papa!
No, Melanie! Go back! Go back!
He was down on his knees, praying in front of three gravestones. As we pulled him to his feet, a great gush of wind tore away a low-hanging tree. Where the tree had been was another grave marker.
Mark.
Yes, I see it.
But there should be only three gravestones. What is this?
Let me clear the dirt off the stone.
No, do not trouble. I can tell you what it says.
Papa.
It says, born 1930, died 1932. Requiescat in pace. Melanie de Beauvier.
We got him back to the house and stretched him out on his bed. He was delirious. We told Madame Duclos what we had found up on that hill. At first, she pretended in ignorance. And then finally, with our questioning, she began to sob.
Oh, you must forgive him, monsieur. And you, mademoiselle. The great hurricane took from him all that he loved. His wife, his sons, his daughter. Especially his daughter.
But I am Melanie de Bevier.
That is the name he gave you, mademoiselle. He asked me to find him a little girl, a petite enfant that could again be his Melanie. You, ma chère.
And my parents?
Your mother was a poor widow, a fine woman, oui, a true lady. But Monsieur de Beauvier could give you what she could not.
Melanie, do you realize what this means? You're no relation. There can't be any insanity.
No, there never was. Monsieur dreaded the day when he might lose mademoiselle. His love made him fear love. And out of it was born that terrible lie. But do not hate him, mademoiselle. I beg of you, think kindly of him.
Always, petite maman. Always.
Monsieur de Beauvier died that night. His funeral was held in the ruins of the Cathedral of Port Luanda. The next day, Melanie and I boarded a freighter for New York. Madame Duclos came to see us off.
You will treat her kindly, monsieur.
Do you doubt I will, madame?
No. No, I do not.
And you, petite maman, I hope all will be well with you.
Oh, you know Monsieur de Beauvier will. Can I want for anything?
No. He was very generous.
Oh, it's hard to say goodbye.
We won't. We'll be back, madame.
Then, a bientôt.
A bientôt, petite maman.
Until soon, madame.
She's so proud. Even to the last, she is afraid to let me know.
But you do know. Tell her, darling.
No?
Yes.
A bientôt, maman. Until soon, my mother.
Romance is produced and directed by Fred Mackay. Editorial supervision is by Het Mannheim. You have heard Isle to the Windward, written especially for Romance by Leonard St. Clair. Robert Bailey was heard as Mark, Joan Banks as Melanie, Parley Bear as Dubovier, Jeanette Nolan as Madame Duclos, and Jack Crucian as Rollins. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at the same time. From the wards to the private rooms, there's a dramatic story behind every patient on CBS Radio's hit show, City Hospital. Accident victim, amnesia patient, police case. Any of them could be the theme for today's exciting tale. So, listen in. Stay tuned now for Stars Over Hollywood, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.